TGS. Happy Friday. George Mayhew is here from St. Louis Magazine. I'm excited because Rach said we're going to talk about happy hour.
Mm-hmm.
And
is this your thing? Is this your jam? Because old guys like happy hour?
No, because when
I just threw that in there.
When I was of, you know, happy hour age, like early 20s, you know this, Rach and Andrew, get ready for old man Dave. You literally wouldn't believe it. You would not believe the spreads that they used to have at happy hours.
Houlihan's.
Houlihan's.
Casa Gallardo.
Jeez.
Cardwell's in Clayton. They'd put these... What it was
massive.
It was 30 feet long,
yeah.
probably three 8-foot tables loaded with chafing dishes, loaded with hot food. And they just come out in the with those big hotel pans and just dump it in there. And, you know, we'd wander, you know, hogs at the trough would come up and just load up the plates. We'd keep eating, we'd keep drinking. And, you know, you kind of
Caligula.
Yeah. You keep, you know, one eye on your on the folks you're talking with and the other one on that buffet line, because once that, you know, that hot pan of stuff, you know, you had to go get it because otherwise it's gone. But
it was
those were the days, and it was just totally free and the drinks were half price.
Yeah.
And those were the days. That was the golden day.
I never understood how they made money.
I still don't know that. You know, it's like we didn't drink that much and for all the food they were putting out. But that's kind of the micro rant that I got into today. Not that that has to occur and should occur, but there I call it half-hearted happy hours. And I could have used half something else, but my editor cut it out. So when you just don't, it's like play the game or get off the field. Like if you're going to do a happy hour, make it luring enough, make it enticing enough that we want to pay a visit. If you're just going to give us $2 off, you know, your three house wines, $2 a glass, you know, that probably isn't going to do it. And if, oh yeah, by the way, food's full price, well, we might be going elsewhere. We're going to look for Casa Gallardo, you know, and that's the kind of stuff, especially when, again, I want bars to make money. I don't begrudge anybody for that. But there is a happy medium there where you can give a reasonable deal on food and on alcohol and get people in there. And the ones that do are packed and they're fun. And, you know, if these guys weren't making money, they wouldn't keep doing it. So I just, these people that make these you know, halfway attempts, I just say, come on, you know, let's do it or not. And they're kind of, if you notice happy hours now, a lot of them publicize the menu, but most of them don't. They kind of don't want you to know they're doing it. Well, if you don't want it to that, then just don't do it.
Don't tell anybody.
Yeah, or just cut it out.
Yeah.
So it's this, you know, they kind of want it, but they kind of don't. They kind of want to give something away, but
so
they kind of don't.
What's a happy hour 2026 like?
You know, most, a lot of the places that kind of play the game, you know, they're discounting a lot of their appetizers, 40 or 50%. And they're discounting their drinks by the same amount. Some of them, it's not quite as much. And some of them are, you know, we're doing just these three cocktails. Okay. Oh, some of them, we're doing all our cocktails. One of my favorite places is 801 Fish and 801 Chop because their entire wine list, by the glass wine list, which is substantial, the whole thing's half price.
Uh-huh.
So you can have a... you know, $7 bottle or $7 glass of wine because it's 14, or you could have a, you know, a $50 glass of Cabernet for $25 if you want to splurge. So I like that idea. You'll see me up there a lot. But that's the kind of, and consequently, it's very successful. It's packed. So anyway, don't halfway it, folks. It's just not right. So.
And I feel bad that the younger generation won't get what we got.
It was so much fun.
Yeah.
And you didn't miss it. You know, that was just like, that's what you did after work.
So, Rach, I know I've told you this before, but you know, like when we worked at Union Station, and I think we had Houlihan's even before when you were there, George, it was packed.
That was the best time.
And then it was spilled out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The whole, like, reflecting pool area was just packed with people.
It was a giant party every Friday afternoon, especially. And yeah, that whole outside area, you didn't miss that. It was just too much fun. And people were, there was, I don't know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people.
The best, I've told you this before, Wheels, the best I've ever looked in my life was at happy hour at Houlihan's. I don't know what it was. I had a crisp.
It's that sun going down.
Yes.
You got a little flat light on your bald head. I mean, on your head.
No, I had a wig.
Ah.
I had a wig.
No.
Yeah, I had a wig for like 5 years.
Oh, my God. I had no idea. Do you have pictures of this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. Is it like a Mo Howard thing going? Or what's
no,
it look like?
No, I wouldn't pay for a wig to get a Mo Howard.
some of them are pretty bad.
I went straight for the bowl cut.
No one's gonna suspect
there's some
the
I've seen, like, you should have gotten a Mo Howard because the one you're wearing ain't so hot.
I would like the Gregorian monk look, please. No, it was too much hair. Like... It was too much hair. To go from where I was to what they gave me was too much.
No, I did. Did you ever have any mishaps and did the wind ever catch it the wrong way? And
oh, I'm sure it did. But my worst thing was I was at a retreat for my law firm and I was a first year because I got in law school, took out a student loan. You appreciate that. And I got super drunk and we're at a retreat in Washington,
oh
Mo,
oh.
And the guy driving me in a golf cart thought it would be funny to try to knock me off. That wasn't hard. And I fell on the cart path, hit the back of my head. Evidently, there was a pool of blood about the size of a manhole cover.
Wow.
And they all had to care for me. And of course, now they say I've got a wig.
Yeah.
And they took me to an emergency room, and the ER doctor had a hair transplant. And he goes, thanks for living out my nightmare. But I was so drunk, I'm like, I'm Dave. You know, it's like.
Oh, my gosh.
Horrible. Horrible. And no one mentioned it to their credit. So.
Oh, you have to sometimes show me a photo when, you know, I will appreciate that. Did you ever? Oh, I can't imagine.
It was terrible.
I thought I'd be like too asleep in the morning and put it on backwards or something or
yeah.
something like that. You
oh,
know,
yeah.
those horrible things.
It's a fake thing on your head. There's no getting around that.
Oh man, so. I had no idea. Well, that's a lot more interesting than what I'm going to talk about. Now there is a place that opened up just this week. I think we talked about it a little bit, and I like talking about places like this. This place is in Midtown. It's where Small Batch used to be. It's on Locust, and you know, a part of town that you know, there's more restaurants coming to it. It's kind of in this zone between the Central West End and downtown, uh-huh. this Midtown area. It's like, it's where Pappy's is. There's action down there, but not enough. There's a place called Scouts that opened up a couple months ago, which is like the hottest thing going. You can't mm-hmm. get into Scouts. And this place has, you know, Scouts aspirations. And it's, but the guys that own Scouts are three extremely seasoned guys. I mean, this place couldn't fail if it wanted to, because these guys are all such dudes. It just, and it's not. I mean, these guys are nailing it.
What's Scouts like?
Scouts is awesome. I mean, it's a couple rooms and it's two chefs and a general manager. Will Rogers, did you ever run into him when he was at the last hotel?
Yeah.
He's just a seasoned front of the house guy. And these guys aren't missing. It's just perfect. As opposed to this new place, these guys are both 24. Two guys, 24, running a restaurant, opening a restaurant. Neither one of them has ever done it. Okay, and that's, you know, normally the recipe, that's just,
sure.
that's classic recipe for disaster. One of them's worked in the business, the other one has, and I thought, boy, you know, and these are the kind of guys that I really want to personally help, because one, they're young and they don't know, and two, they're in a part of town that they might need some help. And so I spent a lot of time, you know, talking with them, and let's do this, you know, let me answer this question, let me ask you this question. And other guys did too. These guys are both extremely likable, and they're kind of the kind of guys that you just like and want to help. And I know another guy in the industry, a very seasoned guy, who's kind of their mentor. And they recruited a chef the same way, this woman named Kate Dozier, who nobody knows about Kate, but she's this superstar chef. She's done a lot of catering. Like, she did like PGA events. I mean, big time catering woman. She worked for World Central Kitchen, Jose Andres' place that... She's been all over the world.
That guy's a saint.
Oh, he's a dude for sure. She's worked with him, I think, for years and been, you know, on disaster relief and all these places. I'm pretty sure she's traveled all around the world with him. I mean, how can you not love a person like that? This woman just knows what she's doing. And she starts talking with these guys, and one of them, one of my buddies, has said, you know, why don't you help them a little bit? See if you can consult with them a little bit. And so she started talking with them, just like I did, and just made friends. These guys are very likable. She goes, you know what? I'm kind of tired of traveling around the world. You know, I think I want to like just hang. She's from St. Louis. Anyway, she's their new executive chef.
Restaurant people are so weird.
Isn't that great, though?
Yeah, that's great.
It's just bizarre. And this place just opened up. And, you know, from what I've heard and what I've seen, they're nailing it.
And what is the vibe there?
This is the small batch space, which is kind of dark. It's kind of black wrought iron and white tile. So it's this black and white thing going, and it's dark, and it's moody, and it's kind of date nighty,
like that.
Yeah, you know, it's really nice. If you see some of the photos, you go, "This is a place I could definitely hang out in."
George, I read your piece that you did with Mabel on STLMag.com, and you were saying they're trying to emulate like a lot of New York mm-hmm. restaurants,
Polo Lounge kind of place. You know, they know the vibe that they were after, and I think they've nailed that. And it's if you remember this space, there's two floors. There's a mezzanine, and there's a lower floor, and it's great. Because if the place is only half full, you put all those people downstairs and it feels like it's happening. And then, you know, okay, let's go upstairs if it gets too busy. So that kind of thing really works. And that mezzanine's kind of cool, too, because it's very quiet up there. There's a bunch of tables for two. You can do schmoopy schmoopy there all night long, and everybody has loves it.
If you will give the information to Andrew, I'd love to have them on. Have Kate and the owners on.
You should. And they're just too, you know, it's just one of those things. I don't know what it is about them, but they're, and he goes, "I don't know why, but people just like me." I go, because you're a likable guy.
That's funny.
You know, and you could be a jerk and everybody say, you know, good luck with you. So it's just, I love to see things like this happen. And again, I just hope that people will go to Midtown and check it out. You know, you can't get in Scouts anyway, so check out a place called Aubrey.
Awesome.
Going down to take a look at me. Come on, babe.
The mountain is high. Welcome back, DJX. Happy Friday. I gotta find out who I need to talk to get them to change that Battle Hawks ad.
Caw.
That man cannot yell caw at me for the rest of this season. Like Rach pointed out, he sounds like Bashar. Caw to you in this time of your day.
Bashar. When is Bashar coming on the show?
I bet it would be next to impossible to get him.
I bet we'd have to pay him.
He's on every damn podcast.
Well, maybe so. Maybe we'll get him.
Like everywhere I look, he's on somebody's podcast.
I'll just lie to him and tell him that Paul Anka was my best friend or something.
What if we had him on and played nothing but Paul Anka songs?
Yeah.
You know, I don't hate the guy. I mean, but it's clearly a thing. Like,
which guy don't you hate?
Bashar.
Oh, well,
I do kind of
hate
Paul.
Bashar.
I kind of hate Paul Anka.
Oh, God. Will you try to get Bashar for us?
I have
easy.
Tried very hard to get Bashar. Bashar
I told Ray that things can be pretty tough.
Bashar, being an interdimensional alien being...
Got to catch him at the right time.
Well, we could just talk to Daryl.
Guess he can't check his email.
We can't like make him guarantee that contact. Bashar will appear, but we can just talk to Daryl.
I'm working on it. I would really like to. I'm working on it.
Thank you for this email to this time of your life.
Hopefully he hasn't heard any of the stuff.
We like him.
Yeah.
It's just funny.
We do?
Yes.
Yeah. We do?
I do.
Okay.
I do. I think it's hilarious, but I like him.
I don't think he's hurting anybody.
No.
What about all the people whose money he's taking?
Is he? Oh, you mean like the products and stuff?
You know what, though? They're getting something out of it.
Yeah. Dude, entertainment.
Look, listen, if you give your money to a guy that channels an interdimensional being named Bashar, I can't help you.
And by the way, Bashar is not technically his name. That's just what he calls himself, so he has a human name because, you know, we wouldn't understand his alien name.
That's convenient.
Yeah. Bashar, I just saw this. It has some meaning, like bringer of knowledge or something like that.
All right, sir.
Bearer of good news, bringer of joy, or messenger.
There.
That is a interesting coincidence.
Yeah. It is. Because he's not from here. He could have picked Cotton Candy as his name, and we've been like, that doesn't make
any. Be like,
hey,
I'm Steven.
Yeah.
Bashar is Egyptian for receiver of money.
Yeah.
Oh, welcome, Buckwheat. I am Buckwheat. You're like, there's been a Buckwheat here.
I wish his name was like Fred.
You would never understand my alien name. It is Chubsy Wubsy.
man, my YouTube algorithm. I've been watching a lot of old school Little Rascals lately, actually.
It's the best.
It's kind of the best, but it's also it's kind of the so saddest awful. Thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. All these kids yeah. being exploited back in the day.
Well, you just know they're working like 20 hours.
Oh, yeah. This is before all the limits. Yeah.
Even the stories. There's like the depression. Oh, so, all oh, the yeah, stories yeah. are like, we ain't got no food. No,
we guess. Exactly. Remember the one where they're in the children's home and there's the old man who's like waiting for his pension check?
Yeah.
When my pension comes in, we're going to eat like kings.
Yeah. Didn't the fat one die of a heart attack when Easy. He was like 9?
The fat one? The fat
yeah. one. The fat rascal.
Well, there was more than one.
The fat
there was literally
rascal.
One named Chubbs.
Yeah, Chubbsy.
And then there was Spanky.
There
and
was Fatty.
Fatty, yeah. They
Fatty
had
Arbuckle.
Wait,
he
what?
Was so cute.
None of them made it past 9.
No, there was literally an episode I was watching. I had to turn it off. It was so sad because it was just like a little boy and his parents were mad at each other.
Mickey Gubitosi.
What's that?
That's Mickey Gubitosi.
Uh-huh.
It's all about the hash. They're fighting over the hash.
Yeah.
That was Beretta.
Yeah.
Look up the TV show Beretta.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who later, like, killed his wife, I think.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah. A lot of things going on
that
there.
That was Mickey.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.